Hello, racing fans. Edison Hatter back with another episode of First Over with Edison Hatter. This time discussing some Saturday evening Woodbine Mohawk racing. It'll be Saturday, January the 15th, 2022. And we have a repeat guest here on the show, this time coming back with some really exciting personal news for him, Sugar Shannon Doyle, the current voice of Western Fair, back with us. Sugar, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Edison. Great to be back with you. And yeah, an exciting time for me in the days, weeks, months ahead. Yeah.
That it definitely is. So I mentioned there, alluded to current announcer at Western Fair, because Sugar, you are making a move west to Century Mile, which is out in Alberta. But this is also a place that's a little bit familiar to you as well.
Yeah, very familiar. I went out to a place called Northlands Park in Edmonton, Alberta, just north of Century Mile, in 2006, exactly this time of year, 2006, to begin my career as an announcer. I had a wonderful time at Northlands Park, got to know all the horse people, and met a lot of great friends, almost, well, you could call them family. And you know, the opportunity came up in London here, 2013, and I came in and had a lot of fun here, learned plenty during my time, and then here we go, back to Alberta, a fairly new track, Century Mile, the 1 mile track for both harness and thoroughbred racing. It's just south of Edmonton, right next to the International Airport. I spent the summer there in 2020 calling the thoroughbreds, had a wonderful time, so it's going to be nice to go back and nice to go back and stay.
So, Sugar, as we discussed a little bit off air, for what it's worth, for any of our listeners out there that may be in the area, have experience, any interest, still to be determined a little bit as to the next voice out at Western Fair. And there is an open application if anyone is so inclined.
Right on. Yeah, I believe they're in the process now of finding their next announcer, Raceway Western Fair District, a beautiful half-mile track in London, Ontario. It's called the Forest City of Ontario, and I've had a great run there. We've had a great racing team during my time there, and it's a great opportunity for someone to call some races.
And so, Sugar, what is the official last date for you then at Western Fair?
Anticipate it to be Wednesday of next week, January 19th. And if the weather is looking good, I will start the long drive towards Alberta a week from today.
Well, we will definitely hopefully tune in and catch your last card at Western Fair. And gosh, that's got to be... Now, of course, my Canadian geography is admittedly not that great, but I can kind of picture this on the map. That's got to be a good... What, 48-hour? I mean, that's a pretty long hike, right?
Yeah, it's a long drive. I've done it before to come to London in 2013, and now going back, it's actually about 37, 38 hours from here. When I did the drive in September years ago, of course, the weather never really played a factor, so I did it in 4 days. I'm going to give myself plenty of time because you never know with the winter conditions and what have you. So I'm going to give myself plenty of time, a daytime driving only for me. And I'm looking forward to getting there by, well, around February 1st. And I believe I'll be calling the Saturday card at Century Mile following that February 1st date of arrival.
Yeah, I was just complaining about the fact that I will be up in Massachusetts this coming weekend, just visiting a old college roommate of mine, and I believe it's supposed to be like 4 degrees Fahrenheit on Saturday night up in Massachusetts. I suspect you will probably encounter some colder and more wintry conditions somewhere across Canada, so I definitely do not envy that.
Yeah, it does get very cold out in Western Canada, but it's a different kind of cold than what we have here in Ontario. Ontario, of course, being around the Great Lakes, there's a lot of dampness in the air, and it's the dampness is in the air year-round. There's a lot of humidity, so what could be cold out in Alberta for some, it's not ever felt that cold for me. It's a dry cold, a very little humidity, and I've never felt a cold like I have around the Great Lakes of Ontario during the winter. It's cold. You got to layer up.
Well, Sugar, for now, at least for the next couple weeks out there, my guest on my show a couple weeks ago was Murray, who is currently filling in for you, I do believe, out there at Century Mile, and I assume someone you know pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. He does a great job, and he's upped his Twitter game there over the last few months. Murray's a great handicapper. He's hit a lot of nice tickets over the last few years that, you know what, to have access to his handicapping tips and knowledge, it's awesome. And yeah, looking forward to working closely with Murray with both Century Tracks. There's a Century Downs just north of Calgary and the Century Mile just south of Edmonton. They're tied together pretty close with Harness and Thoroughbred all year long.
And so, Sugar, I meant to ask you this, and good you remind me now here mentioning that. So Century Downs and Century Mile, for those of us American listeners not super familiar with that geography, what's the distance like between those two?
They're about, we'll call it 2 to 2.5 hours apart, and they're both along the main highway corridor between Calgary and Alberta. Those are the two major cities in the province of Alberta. So, yeah, to take about 2 to 2.5 hours to go track to track. And again, they're very close to the international airports for both cities. Century Downs, just a little bit larger than a 5/8 mile track. It's an 11/16 track size. And of course, Century Mile, the 1 mile size, largest horse racing track west of Ontario.
So, Sugar, you know, I believe I asked you this last time. I know I've asked Murray this in the past, but, you know, you both have experienced those thoroughbreds, the harnesses, and obviously you're going to now get the experience to do both once again. Where does your preference lie between the two?
You know what? I don't have a preference anymore. Of course, I grew up with harness, being a Maritimer, growing up in Prince Edward Island. We never raced a thoroughbred in and around the Maritimes. So the very first time I saw a thoroughbred in person was my first trip to Alberta back in 2006. So right now, as a race caller, I know calling thoroughbreds has improved, I think, improved my style as a harness caller. With calling thoroughbreds, there's more of a challenge. You have to prepare more. For me, I like to color in the jockey silks, the blinkers of horses, leg wraps, what have you, just to pick up on their whereabouts when they are in a race. With harness, it all comes natural to me. There's very little doodling with markers before a harness race. There's way more prep work with the thoroughbreds, but I do enjoy the challenge. I prefer them both. Horse racing is horse racing to me. Harness, thoroughbred, quarter horses, I love it all.
Well, Sugar, I have to mention that I just took a peek through, and I thought this was a true statement, but yeah, the one bet that I've made this whole week at Western Fair, I don't have to complain to you about, it was a winner, but I thought it was a rather unique race last night. It was race 6 last night. I bet Marzank Hanover, who was bet down pretty late there to 4-5, but man, I thought Share the Moment was gone on the front end, and he just crawled to the wire.
Yeah, you know what? Travis Cullen on Share in the Moment got control and threw a big third quarter at them, 28 seconds flat, I believe it was. And it appeared a Marzank Hanover would just keep living on the outside and maybe hang on for a second. But the strides certainly shortened up on the pace setter. Just about a 16th left to go, and Marzank Hanover with one final push up in time. And that was a great horse race. The Travis Cullen barn has been very sharp here in Ontario. Well, Jody Cullen, his mom, is the trainer, but Travis with driving, he won both our feature events this week. The boys on Tuesday night with Jules Dragon, and then coming back there last night with a very nice mare rolling quickly. And you know what? The Cullen barn, very hot right now in Ontario.
So, Sugar, to complete the Canadian geography lesson for those of us listening here that may not be super familiar, obviously we see names like Travis Cullen and Austin Sorey on the Woodbine Mohawk card, as well as some others that race with you at Western Fair. What is that distance like from Western Fair to Mohawk?
You're looking at probably an hour and a half east. get on the main highway, and it'll take you right towards Mohawk, Woodbine Mohawk Park. I've done the drive many a time. Fabulous spot to watch the North America Cup, the Breeders' Crown, and what have you. It's not a bad drive down at all. I usually have a friend or two to drive along with, and we're always talking horses all the way.
And hey, Sugar, one last thing before we get to handicapping. I already mentioned it on the previous show this week, but hey, let's mention it once more. This year, October 28th, 29th, speaking of the Breeders' Crown, just recently announced, it's going back to Woodbine Mohawk this coming October.
Yeah, it's a fabulous spot for it. Now, the last time I believe it was there, you know what? Not the last time, maybe the time before, maybe the second last one they held at Mohawk, pouring rain. And I guess it was showers the last time they had it, but it wasn't so bad as the time before where I believe it was Tactor and Dave Miller had a huge night for the Breeders' Crown, maybe five years ago or so. But I remember the heavy rains that night. The last time I went down for Breeders' Crown, the weather wasn't all the best, but it wasn't as bad as the time before. They need a nice weather weekend for the Breeders' Crown. They're due.
Yeah, we, you know, Saturday turned out to be a pretty nice day, and for sure I enjoyed my first ever Breeders' Crown experience this year, for sure, immensely, at the Meadowlands, but right. Yeah, Friday night's weather left a little something to be desired.
Right, yeah. You know what, any kind of horse racing, if you can get the weather for your big events, I mean, that's key. I mean, here in London, not being able to race the Camelot Classic last few years due to the pandemic, but we've always been very lucky here for either the Molson Pace or the Camelot Classic, our signature event here. Those big nights, you want the weatherman or Mother Nature to show up with their best, and London's been very lucky during my time here to get the good weather for the big night.
Well, Sugar, we will turn our attention next to some handicapping, and we have an early Pick 5 sequence to talk about, a $100,000 guaranteed pool, races 1 through 5, a 20-cent base wager. This is Saturday night, Saturday, January 15th, 2022, and our listeners can go to www.woodbine.com/mohawk/free-programs to get their very own free programs as you and I handicap this Pick 5 sequence, as well as give out some tickets. And we will start and jump right into race one. It's Pacers going for $14,000, non-winners of $5,000 in their last five starts, or non-winners of $10,500 in their last 10 starts. And Sugar, you see this is a really, really open race. You're going to use half of the field to kick off the sequence.
Yeah, this is where I'm going to try and get a price to start things up. Five deep. Went to the three-legged Pacer inside, Beach and Lindy. Beaten favorite there last time out. Closed up well to finish third. Austin Sorey gets the call. The three, Respect Our Flag, as mentioned. That Jody Cullen barn, Travis on board, that barn is red hot right now in Ontario. So Respect Our Flag, Respect the Cullen barn. 4-1 there on number three. The four horse going fast, another value player. Second start back off the rest. I like that one. The five, Lou Ed Zeppelin. This is the choice for Louis Philippois, and that's why I've used that one as well. You're getting a 6-1 price on that morning line. And then the seven, Lancaster Bomber, adding Lasix. Expected to take plenty of action there in the opener.
Yeah, I use three of the horses there. I use the one, the three, and the seven. Those are three of yours. Beach and Lindy, as you mentioned, a third-place finish last time out here at the level. I was coming nicely there. It was strong back half the mile. Disappointed as the even money favorite, but might get a little bit better price on him this time around as a result. The three, Respect Our Flag, as you mentioned, this one was racing with us down at the Meadowland down here in the States earlier this summer and been a big fan of his for a while. So nice to see him up at the Woodbine Mohawk. He's been there for quite a while now, actually. And tough trip last time out, post nine. Post six against Tougher last time, so back down to this drop to this non-winners of 5,000 level and a good post draw. Definitely have to use him. And then the seven, Lancaster Bomber, as you mentioned, was trying to control on the front end on New Year's Day. Ended up getting caught late, finished second to raise credit in there. But 1, 3, and 7 will kick it off for me. 1, 3, 4, 5, 7 to kick it off for you.
Right on. Over to now, race number two. Yeah, you go ahead there, Edison.
Yeah, race two, it's this preferred pace for purse of 34,000, and it seems like I pick wrong all the time. It's basically the same six that have just kind of been taking turns beating up on one another, but you are going to use three of them in here, so definitely an open preferred event, as always, it seems like.
Yeah, the winner last week, we're not going to see the field face this week, so I'm going to use the mare So Much More. She just missed last time out, and of course, the choice for James McDonald in here. Why not? The two wheels on fire. He's got three wins in his last five lines. You look through the program lines, you rarely see this. All preferred starts and always the favorite. Number two, Wheels on Fire, a likely favorite in there again. Got to use him. And then the five, Woodmere Steel Deal. I've followed this horse now since he was a two-year-old. Went unbeaten as a two-year-old Atlantic Sire Stakes champion. Did really good as a three-year-old down around the Maritimes. And now he's really starting to show up. Here in Ontario, Woodmere Steel Deal, easy, and I mean real easy winner there last time out. He will be facing tougher, but the price is right at 6-1.
Yeah, I mentioned Woodmere Steel Deal last week. I picked that horse on top in that race, and I'm sure you've seen it too, Sugar, but I'm always intrigued by the nice little social media following that Woodmere Steel Deal has. His own Twitter account there on social
media.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
But for me, I'm going against him this week, unfortunately. I'm going to go with the one and the two. So Much More, Wheels on Fire, nothing creative here. As you mentioned, Wheels on Fire, it's pretty darn difficult to be the favorite that many preferreds in a row, but he's backed it up with several wins in there as well. But So Much More has obviously been right there as well, so I just need the one and the two, I think, to get me through this second race. Race three, we're going back to the Pacers for a purse of 18,000. It's a claiming handicap, 22,000 to 30,000. And Sugar, you are going to use just two in here. And we could also probably take some bets on who will get claimed in here, because there are a couple, particularly the six and the seven, that, man, they sure do have a lot of C's there in the recent form lines.
Oh, for sure. And I've seen it here in London this week, too. People are spending money. Horses are being claimed left and right at all levels here in Ontario lately. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of value in here on the winner. I think it's either one, A Boy Named Suze, just missing to Gold in the Badlands last time out, or you got to go outside to the eight, Gold in the Badlands. He's got four wins in a row. He's tough to go against, right?
Yeah, I mean, I use those two. I use the one and the eight, and then I'll throw in the six and the seven as well. You know, pretty logical for me here. Just the four that do the best in these claimers. Not a whole lot more to say to it. And with that in mind, we'll talk a little bit here, ticket structures we get a little later on. But for me, that's a pretty formful start to these first three. So I've actually got two singles to close out the sequence, and it's only going to be a $4.80 play for me. So, and I know yours is only 12, so for sure, maybe this is the kind of sequence that you want to hit more than just once, given the way that it might play out.
Yeah, like maybe play it for a buck, hey? Play it for a $1.
Yeah, I think that may be the way to go here as we go to race four. Five-year-olds and youngers, nine winners of three races or 30,000 lifetime on the pace for purchase of 18,000. And for me, the single here is the 10 Salzbrook Victor, who is your morning line favorite all the way from out there post time. I'm not sure whether he'll be the post time favorite or not, but you know, he's been knocking on the door here, two in a row here, a couple of seconds at the level. Some really good last quarters. He's taken significant money at the window both times. Had the inside post positions. Has to deal with the outside post draw here, but you know, he's done it from off the pace. I mean, gosh, he was 21 lengths back in last. At the opening quarter, three back when he won. So post 10 might not be too big of an issue here if they just plan to drop off early. So that's the single for me here in race four. And Sugar, I know you use the 10, but you also use one other.
Yeah, you know what? I do like your choice, the 10, a Salzbrook Victor. I actually went and followed him the start after he won. And, you know, he didn't have any cover coming out of that final turn. And he did the same kind of trip last time out, but the looks of things. He's a horse that loves to be covered up. So if he can stay close, covered up, and into the stretch, he should be able to unleash that huge final quarter speed. But my plan B, number three, Dr. Joe. It's a choice of a driver, Louis Philippois, in here. You're getting a 6-1 value. He's a winner last time out, pretty much gate to wire there for trainer Bob McIntosh. I like the fact that Louis chose this horse to drive, and I'm loving the value, 6-1. Dr. Joe, think about it.
Well, with that, Sugar, we go to the payoff leg, race five, and we're going to have competing singles here in the New Year's Claiming Series, the final. It's those Ontario Sired four-year-olds claiming $40,000 for a purse of $42,800, and you will take the seven Mustang Beach on top.
Yeah, Mustang Beach just made up a ton of ground there in winning last time out to Mustang Beach. Came in from the Meadowlands, went out for Dwayne Marfisi. And, you know, he looked so good coming up on the wide side. Odds-on favorite status, Doug McNair stays on the drive. I'm going to stay with Mustang Beach here to take the final.
Well, for me, the one that I liked last week in the second leg was the four Saratoga Blue Chip. And, of course, with the break, the broken equipment, never got a chance to really find out what he was going to offer against Mustang Beach, who was an impressive winner from post 11. But I still like the way that Saratoga Blue Chip did it two back in that first leg on New Year's Day. So I will take a chance here trying to beat the favorite with Saratoga Blue Chip as my single to close out this sequence.
I like your ticket. I like mine just a bit more.
Well, definitely a case of only one of us can be the winner. So if not mine, hopefully yours is a winning ticket. And let's recap those, Sugar. For you, it's a 1-3-4-5-7 with 1-2-5 with 1-8 with 3-10 with 7. That's a $12 play. And for me, it's a $4.80 play, 1-3-7 with 1-2 with 1-6-7-8 with 10 with 4. And as you mentioned, both of our tickets, you could play them both for $17, or you could play one or both of them for a dollar even. Definitely some good affordable tickets we're giving out here, Sugar.
Right on. Yeah, it don't cost a whole lot to play along with us. Why not?
Well, Sugar, we've got a featured race to talk about here, featured race number 10 on the card. But before we do so, we'll go further off topic here, a couple of random conversation points in the middle here, and we'll start with Sugar. I talked about this on the show earlier this week as well, but I'll mention it to you as well, that we've got an interesting circumstance at Freehold here at my place happening tomorrow afternoon. We have a pair of 15-year-olds facing off in an amateur series race. Now, Dream Out Loud N has won 10 in a row to finish out his 14-year-old season out at the Meadows.
Cool.
And Statesman N for Yogi Sheridan won by 13.5 on New Year's Eve here at Freehold back 2 weeks ago to finish out his 14-year-old season. And they're probably two of the favorites in this amateur race next year. So with that in mind, Sugar, I assume you're with me when I say we should be all for these 15-year-olds who are clearly sound, happy, healthy racehorses to be able to continue racing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think any horse that loves to do his work and is doing it in a healthy way, sure. Let them race. Let them continue on. I do know that out in Western Canada, they've allowed a few to continue on. I think there's a horse by the name of Best Dream Seeker, actually, who won recently as a 15-year-old there in a later portion of 2021 and will be racing up until the end of May as a 16-year-old. But Ontario here, I know we're tired of three 14-year-olds on New Year's Eve in London. It was wonderful to see. We had them all come back to the winner's circle following their final race, and a nice ceremony to send them off. But a lot of these horses, they love to do their work. They love to race. So hopefully the ones that we retired here in London, they'll enjoy their time away from the races. But it's nice to see them continue on, if allowed, to race at the 15.
Most certainly there, Sugar. And Sugar, one last thing here. I'll throw you my handicapping question of the day. And it kind of goes as twofold, a little bit of, story from you as well as a handicapping question. But obviously Century Mile is a mile track. So first things first, how do you handicap horses going from, say, a 5/8 track to a mile track? And then also just for you personally, what about your experience as an announcer on the mile track versus the smaller track at, say, Western Fair?
First part of the question there, horses going from a smaller track to a bigger track. I want to see nice final quarters, quick final quarters to compete on the big 1 mile track. Horses that are on the lead and showing weak final quarters of 30 or 31, on a mile track, the stretch is so long. If there's horses close to you and you feel like tossing a final quarter of 30 or 31 in, you're going to get passed all day long. There's not many horses that can keep on holding the lead into a long stretch of a 1 mile track if they're not capable of showing good final quarter speed. So that's what I'm going to want to see most from horses switching from a smaller track to a bigger track. I want to see fast final quarters. As far as calling the action, going from the raceway at Western Fair District, the half miler to the 1 miler, I do have two sets of binoculars. One of them only comes out for the half miler, but I use both for the 1 mile track. It's kind of far when they get up into the far turn there at Century Mile, but you know what? Great high definition. Sometimes we got to go to the monitors to make the call into the final turn or even turning for home. But I enjoy calling races anywhere. It doesn't matter what size track or where it's at. It's just I always have fun. I enjoy my job. I've been very lucky to do what I love and love what I do.
Well, with that, Sugar, we will turn our attention to that featured race before we wrap up here. And race 10 is top-level conditioned event here. It's a Pacers, $26,000 purse. Non-winners of $19,000 in their last five starts or non-winners of $26,000 in their last 10 starts. And Sugar, I know you've given me some numbers here. You're going with the 3 on top, some other contenders here, the 4, the 5, the 7, and the 8. But I got to start by asking you, hey, no love here for the $1.4 million winner and the Breeders' Crown horse, so Jimmy Freight coming back here, obviously off of a bit of a two-year layoff, but now fourth time off the bench. No love for him?
Yeah, Jimmy Freight, he's just kind of rounding in the form, right? And until he can hit the top three, I kind of got to stay away from him. I'd probably use him in, you know, the lower portions of the Triactor Superfecta in here, but again, he's yet to hit the top three in his return to the races. He does have a rail. He does have Louis on board for trainer Richard Morrow, but I just got to see a little more. I got to see him hit the board anyway before I can use him seriously. You mentioned I might have selected three. I'm actually on the 4, Priceless Beach here. This is the horse that I'm going to be all over. I love the fact that he can fly home. He shows really nice quarters, 27 in his last two. You actually go 4 back for Priceless Beach, and he's got a final quarter of 26 seconds flat. Now, I'll tell you, I love a closer in this race because I know Harambe Deo's coming up from south of the border, and that horse can cut out some pretty quick cash. You go 3 back for Harambe Deo. He's at the half and 53-4 at the Meadowlands. If there's quick speed here, I'm loving the 4. Priceless Beach on top.
Well, for me, I'm going to take the chance. I know we've talked about him on the show in the past, of course, but I will take the chance with Jimmy Freight. You know, I think the last effort, getting down to that, out of the preferreds, down to that conditioned event, might have helped him out a bit. You know, gets the rail here. And the interesting thing was they took him off of the pace in that non-winners 19,000 event. He's cut the mile in the preferred, so maybe he goes back to those front-end tactics here. But as you mentioned, Harambe Deo for sure is probably going to be flying early. So I don't know what kind of trip Jimmy Frey can work out, but I think just fitness-wise, fourth time off of the bench here, if we can get a little bit of a price on it, might be the way to go. But much like his first time back, he's probably, admittedly, once again, going to be pretty overbet just because of the name recognition.
Yeah, he does have a good following. Jimmy Freight, one thing I do like about him, as you mentioned, last time he went from off the pace, he was passing horses. He went from 7th to 4th. So he's going in the right direction. He's likely going to show more. Like I said, I could use him for the tries and superfectas, just not ready to put him on top just yet.
Well, Sugar, that was a look at our 11-race program with by Mohawk Saturday night, Saturday, January 15th, 2022. And as always, www.woodbine.com/Mohawk/free-programs for our listeners to get their very own free program for the racing action up there. Sugar, thank you so much once again for your time as a guest on the show. And we will wish you the best of luck as you close down the days at Western Fair on the drive out to Alberta. And we'll look forward to hearing you out at Century Mile very soon.
Right on. Always a pleasure, Edison. Keep calling those races. You do a great job, pal. Take care.
Thank you, Sugar. Appreciate it. You as well. And with that, racing fans, that'll just about wrap up the time that we have. We'll wish everyone wagering this weekend. The best of luck. Plenty of weekend action from the Meadowlands, from Western Fair on Friday night, from Woodbine Mohawk, plenty of thoroughbred tracks, Greyhound sports, college NFL playoffs, whatever you want to wager on this weekend. We hope all your bets are winning ones, and we will talk to you next time here on First Over with Edison Hatter.